And welcome to the Spirit Work Show, the metaphysical and spiritual show with a difference. I'm Sylvie Avery.
I'm Mick Avery.
And we are mediums who have chosen to serve humanity through our gifts of spirit communication. We focus on education. On this show, through Mick's deep trance mediumship, we are able to bring you the truths as to the nature of your existence direct from the other side of life. And on today's show, we'll be discussing unfolding the law of attraction. And if you'd like to join us with a question related to our subject, toll-free phone lines will be open. And in the US, it's 877-876-5227. In Canada, it's 888-815-9756. And if there's any international callers around, it's 001-530-8762. This is a situation of reading. Talking about and discussing with Spirit Gregory anything that you would like to know, but try to keep it roughly to our subject. Okay, so that would be absolutely fantastic. Love that.
Yes, we would. Well, hi, I'm Mick Avery, as well as Spirit's work on bbsradio.com every Monday at 7 p.m. Pacific. We have another radio show, which is called Spirit Teaching on artistverse.com every Tuesday at 7 p.m. Pacific. If you'd like to know more about us, our books, CDs, Book and Akashic Reading, or any of the other services, we suggest you go visit our website, which is www.spirit-teaching.com, and also live at www.spiritsworkradio.com. As regular listeners will know, every week on the show, I channel an enlightened spirit guide called Gregory Hay, who is the main spokesperson for a group of evolved spirits called the White Cloud Group. Gregory himself had an earth life in the early 1700s in England and has come to share the wisdom he has gained access to with those of us still on the earth. We don't spend long time talking at the beginning of our shows because we try and save as much time as possible for the spirit world and for Gregory Hay as well, of course, because he's always got plenty to say anyway. Anyway, unfortunately, I'm going to miss the whole show because I'm going to go back to sleep. Because I'm the instrument, and that's just generally what happens. So that's what I'm going to do right now. So,
okay, thank you, Mick.
Goodbye for this week, and see you again next week. Bye.
Gregory is a spokesperson for the White Cloud Group, and they are made up of scientific minds of all description, along with ordinary people. They're an educational team and have access to give us knowledge and information that we need to know in order that we may move toward a more harmonious way of life. Hopefully to understand the nature of our existence, it will help us to evaluate our lives differently. When Mick is in trance, his spirit and his consciousness are transported and held by the scientific members of the White Cloud Group so that we can enjoy the complete personality of Gregory. So this isn't Mick passing information from a non-physical entity via a channeling situation. It's completely lights out for me. Welcome to Spirit Guide Gregory Hay as a complete personality. So if you'd like to find out more about us, do visit our website, which is spirit-teaching.com. Now, I did say that we didn't, it wasn't readings tonight or anything like that, but you can have a reading with Gregory, and so you can find out more about that on our website as well. We do Akashic readings and all different types of readings. Our Akashic readings are very popular, and this, with these you will find out all sorts of amazing things about yourself as a spiritual being and about your spiritual identity and your core energy. Find out what soul group you're from if you have a reading with Gregory, and maybe if you want to find out about your gifts of spirit and who your guides are and that sort of thing. So it's a quite a different type of reading, and excellent, really great, honestly. So you'll love having a one-to-one with Gregory during these readings. If you'd like to get in touch, find out more about that on our site, spirit-team.com. We're also on Second Life Virtual World on Sunday, between 1 and 2 Pacific, that's 4 to 5 Eastern, and that's 9 p.m. GMT in the UK. If you'd like to meet us there at the Mystic Academy at the New Oracle Temple, we have great fun for another session with Gregory. Next week we're talking about quantum physics today. Come armed with your questions. Have fun. Okay. Well, I do think that Gregory is with us now. Hello, Gregory.
With love and light and peace be upon you, Ben.
Okay, I don't know. Was that somebody online then?
Yes.
Hello?
Hello.
Oh, hello.
Hi. My name is Heather, and I don't really have a specific question, but if there's anything you'd like to tell me, I would appreciate it.
We're going to do a show about the law of attraction. So, but if you wanted to talk with Gregory another time, we do readings, but this isn't the type of thing that we do on the show.
Okay, so what is it that you do on the show?
Well, we're going to be discussing a subject, a topical subject about people and their spiritual journeys. And then people can phone in and talk about this, what we are actually discussing this evening. So, I mean, if you would like to listen to the show and then phone back with a question that's related to it or whatever, that your thoughts on it and,
okay.
I mean, all of these things pertain to people, obviously, but it's a sort of a generic thing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Heather.
Bye-bye.
That's a lot. Bye. Okay. Right. So, where would you like to start with this, Gregory? This is a huge subject. Unfolding the law of attraction.
Yes, Ben. The law of attraction, and as it applies to the universe, to you and your life. Every aspect of your life is unfolding the law of attraction. Whether it is that your law of attraction is to do with the way you create or look for recreation in your life, the reasons that you have within you for why you hunt animals and shoot them, the reasons for that, whether they are for survival or for your enjoyment, are all a part of the law of attraction and unfolding it in your own universe. How you behave toward other beings or anyone else in your life creates the law of attraction and enacts certain elements of the law of attraction to you in your life, creating karma as you move through your journey. These are then thought of as different emotional fields of the law of attraction. You create something beautiful. Theoretically, the law of attraction and karma should give you back something beautiful. Many would say, that is unless you've had some other situation in some past life which has actually given you bad karma. It depends then, surely, upon how long you think the resonance of the law of attraction lasts. Does it last from one lifetime to another, or is it purely engaged at the moment and continues until you resolve that situation. So thereby, perhaps for some people, it will be that, well, you won't actually have another life until you've finished with the karma of the previous one. Unfolding the law of attraction is what human beings do all of the time. I cite human beings here because they are living at a conscious level of having to decide and creating decisions about every step of their life. But surely does that not mean that animals also have decision-making properties in their lives? Yes, of course. Absolutely so. You would perhaps admire dolphins in an aquarium playing with water light bubbles. And in the water, rings of oxygen that they take from the surface of their aquarium. You will see, in fact, that they have every intention of playing with them, as opposed to the fights of many people who actually say, oh, well, they're just reacting to something, but they don't actually know what they're reacting to. That's purely coming from a lofty understanding of oneself and presuming that you are always going to be more intelligent than anything else that you observe. Unfolding the law of attraction in this instance is that person who thinks that way is always going to stay ignorant, cannot see beyond it. So their law of attraction is in some way false. And perhaps it is that their law of attraction is never actually going to enable them to see beyond their current horizon, because they refuse to picture it, to view it as an image in their minds, cannot conceive of it. An interesting point then, it's like they have frozen their own energy, in a sense, and not allowed to look above or beyond it. That's the same as many people who perhaps are steeped in a religious faith or belief. So they tread this path, feeling that this is the one simple truth that they need. This also could be cited as unfolding the law of attraction of self. So perhaps if you believe, as a good Christian, that everything is created for you and for your pathway, and that perhaps you believe, due to the law of attraction, that you are above everything else, because perhaps you are feeling of yourself as at the pinnacle of the genetic tree of life upon the earth. I know many people think that that is the case, purely and simply because you judge the whole activity of the conscious mind, prejudge it in a sense, because the animal doesn't talk or think like you do, means to say it has to be of a lesser mind or a lesser consciousness. Well, in point of fact, my point here is that it's a misjudgment of what is truly taking place. So the law of attraction has been frozen, has not been allowed to continue in the face of any adversity at all. How are you going to be able to comprehend new conscious idea or attract conscious idea if you freeze everything out? This is in exactly the same way of anyone, of course, if they will refuse someone else's belief or thought pattern. That's the way that they've seen it, gathered it together, and it's come true for them. It's an interesting concept to see exactly how that being will perhaps relate to this whole situation and question. Unfolding the law of attraction constantly works this way and that way as you battle with your life. Moving from one situation to another, you attract energy to you. Energy from the universe, and give out energy to the universe. You pray perhaps for things to happen or send out mind-conscious thoughts to the universe of your description of what you would wish to achieve in this life. Don't forget, this life interacts with everything all the way up to the moment of your passing and then continues on from that. So if at any time you feel that God or the law of attraction has failed you because it hasn't come full circle for you in this physical life, it's actually going to apply perhaps to some aspect of your life in the spirit world. So nothing is ever lost or failed to be gained.
So that's interesting, actually. So if you are not open, so if you've closed your mind, it's an interesting take on this, actually. We've discussed this particular angle before. Because if you're not open and you've already closed your mind to the fact that something is possible, be it that you could love somebody of a different race, culture, or religious point of view,
or whatever, or even
if you had closed your mind to the fact that you could never reach some pinnacle or other. Well, that I would never do that. I can't aspire to that because it's beyond my reach. So
exactly.
I won't. You know, then you're not going to attract it to you, are you?
No.
I mean, it's okay. We think of it as sending out these signs and signals that we want, something. But if we, in our soul, we really feel that we could never do that for whatever reason.
Or unsuitable to achieve it, if we think that our energy as a single individual being is such of lesser worth that we are not going to be able to achieve that energy within our own lifetime. That's like saying that, oh, well, you're never going to achieve enlightenment. What a gross and stupid thing to say, purely and simply, because how do they know? That's exactly the same as someone who says that a child who lasts on physical earth but 3 days has to come back and have another life, purely and simply, because it hasn't had one now.
Because
how do you
think
know
this
that?
Is everything, yeah.
Yes, absolutely, yeah. So it's a matter of your perception. And how you resolve this is that you have to put these silly ideas out of your reach, purely and simply. I know that they're your ideas and you're entitled to them, but I'm saying if you're looking at the world in a factual level, then if you perceive anything more beyond the child who lasts 3 days, you try to comprehend its spirit, or you try to comprehend its consciousness of this child. Unfolding this law of attraction means to say you might try to place yourself in the mind of that child because you are speaking from a personal experience. Therefore, the mind of the child of 3 days of age, as you recall it, is that you don't recall anything. Yes, and then it's just a matter of blurry lights and blurry shapes, perhaps. And that's all that you think has been situation. Never mind the interplay of mind, energy, and consciousness, which happened actually pre-birth, and all of the events that happened pre-birth. So it may well be that spirit's own interaction with that physical conscious body only needed for that short space of time to attain enlightenment.
But not necessarily that it was planned.
And not necessarily the form of enlightenment that you had envisaged for yourself.
But also the only living that short time wasn't planned necessarily either.
Yes, exactly. Quite so.
But actually it didn't matter anyway.
No.
In fact, that you've said before that the material world, the physical world that generally taints spirit, really.
Yes,
anyway.
And people generally tend to put their own perception of what happened in their life as opposed to what then their decision is going to be about somebody else. I understand that a child of 7 or 10 dying, passing in a motor vehicle accident, there will be huge tears shed and great sadness for that child for not having accessed the pathway of the consciousness that adults perceive as being their right. So that child remains innocent. I understand that. Yes. Of course. But it also means to say that beautiful child, or perhaps he was an absolute terror, still learnt creation, still interacted as a spirit-like body, whatever that means, as a spirit, a beautiful, pure spirit having a physical existence, still interacted with the conscious physical state. And that you, as other beings sharing that world at that time, managed to understand and appreciate that life, and maybe managed to understand and appreciate the passing, too. And what a great sadness that became. However, these are unfolding. The law of attraction? Is it really? Is it? Do you mean to say then, do I mean to say, that that child created the law of attraction for himself? Perhaps being crushed in a vehicle or something like that. Not his fault then. Somebody else's fault. Was that the law of attraction which happened to him, that he attracted that to himself or herself? Unfolding the law of attraction is difficult when you are faced with emotional levels of decision-making about your processes of thought and how thought begets thought. So it leads you up to various cul-de-sacs of how you interpret what the unfolding law of attraction of the universe is in your language. So language can even become a barrier, because it may be that you don't have details, you don't have words to express what situations could be running through your mind. So simply, you have then difficulty of expressing what the law of attraction could take for you. You think then automatically, perhaps, that child must come back and have another life, have another go, because it hasn't had the 70 years that others have, or that maybe you have. How do you know that that means to say that you've had a full and happy life? Chances are that you'll speak to a lot of people on your side of life, and they won't have had a full and happy life. Probably 2/3. Quite simply because what a lot of it that they've reflected upon has been unresolved attraction, or unresolved situations of attracting things they never wanted to happen to them. Their mother, father, sister, brother, whoever, that loved them dearly and that they loved dearly, passing before them.
Well, I think that basically, because generally we don't know that this Earth life, this planet, is not the only place to have a physical life, and that we have probably had other physical lives on other planets, and some maybe not in the spirit world, because you don't have to, because everything is there anyway. Because we know so little about what else there is, we all automatically just put everything, all the onus on Earth, on the physical Earth, you see. So,
yes.
I mean, and then that's where I think, obviously, where spirit workers, light workers, you know, try to convey these messages, not just give people comfort and that sort of thing. It's to open people's eyes, isn't it, to the greater picture.
Yes.
So that we can make more measured decisions.
Yes, to try to prise the lid off it. The point I'm making here also is that the situation is then a matter of interpretation, partly interpretation through emotive fields as well. So descriptive messages of what the spirit world is supposed to be and how it's supposed to be made up oftentimes can come from failed research, or can come from problematics of the consciousness body, which is replying to forms of communication that may be errant. And I understand this. It's a peculiarity of humankind, purely and simply because they assume that all of the animals that exist upon the earth and the different species that exist are always going to be there and do not understand what's going to happen if some of them fail. Continued five. I understand that animals, new species, are mutating all of the time. And all of the time, throughout every day and moment of the conscious physical life, animals are passing and new species are being born. However, for example, with the physical earth, you have a situation which is that in perhaps 20 years' time, you have and run the risk of only having half of the mammals existing that exist now. That's an enormous gap within the whole gathering of consciousness upon the physical earth and also of the physical presence of the energy of God, of the energy of the universe, come to bear in physical form. Unfolding the law of attraction to them has become a dead end. And quite simply, what will happen to them is their exhausted presence will be no more. Their collection of cells arranged in a certain way, their DNA of different genders will in fact retire wholly to the spirit world. Is that their law of attraction? Have they attracted it to them? Did the Chinese river dolphin attract it to it, that it actually wanted to become extinct? As the universal law of attraction unfolded before them, and that they have just gone unknowing about that? Laws existent. Laws are existent in the universe, oftentimes for creatures who live out those laws of attraction, supposedly don't realize it, don't have the conscious wit for it. Ask a god, ask a dog, does it understand God? And it will just bark at you.
But the thing is, all the skeptics and the people in the world that don't believe in the spirit world, and obviously, it's only until you realize and understand and believe that there is such a thing as the eternal spirit and all of the other everything that goes with that, the whole package, really. It's only when you look at that that you are actually going to convince everybody, you know what I mean, and the law of attraction of actually saving the planet become oiled, and we can really start making progress. But where there's people that are just absolutely not going to believe it, you know what I mean?
Yes, absolutely so. But they only think that they're not. The situation only unveils that they're not going to believe it purely because they feel that they're isolated, and so they're cut off from anyone else, and do not believe their voice is counted. That's a very good ploy for governmental situations, civilizations. In fact, to rule out the power of one, so that every being becomes and feels insignificant. And yet, you have a situation now where just a small handful of people have actually created absolute havoc on your side of life. It only took a handful of people. And yet, you apply this as feeding, it's something that everybody is doing. Is that the law of attraction that you created yourselves? Perhaps it is. Perhaps it was created by allowing this mess to unfold in the first place. Purely and simply because people allowed others to gamble with your futures, with your inheritance, with your financial understanding. Have gambled with it, played with it, and created a monster for themselves.
Well, for everybody, yes.
Yes.
So, okay.
But I know that we're diving around all over the place here.
No, but it's interesting. It, different angles. We need to talk about different angles of law of attraction, because we only tend to think of the same thing all of the time.
Yes.
You know, wake up in the morning and do my
your invocation thing.
And that sort of thing. You know, my aspirations, attraction saying that, drawing it to me. But it affects so many other things, as well as the negative situations in our life, because it's not that easy, because so many of us.
Yes, absolutely. And you're all interactive. So the point of what you think you're attracting, for example, like the 10 children who were shot by the deranged individual of the Amish situation, or any other situation in the same veil. Those children never attracted that to them. They were innocent. You see, so how could you say that through their emotional field of what they created in their life that they could have attracted it? What they did manage to achieve in their last moments of life is that they managed to achieve some semblance of their own self and of understanding that it wasn't their fault, that they did not create it.
Okay, shall we move on to what about the attraction that people have to one another?
Yes.
Visually, the feel-good factor. I mean, what about this? How does this work individually with us? I mean, you know, is it are certain things a genetic thing, or it can't? You know, we all have our different ways of attraction towards one another, whether it's just as a partner, whatever way, or
yes.
a friend.
Yes, absolutely so. I understand that some situations of relationship begin purely and simply through the interaction, communication process. So does that mean to say that there is an initial trigger to do with that? The law of attraction may well dictate in funny ways to do with the physical universe, because what you're applying and relying upon in the main is really to do with genetics, to do with your situation of instinct, intellect, and the way in which you create understanding and allowing that the natural law of instinct and attraction to break through. The reason why you do this as a physical being is because part this herd comes back from herding and from the pack situation, as you are a pack animal generally, and that means to say then that you want beings around you who are perhaps sharing in your vibration, or are perhaps going to be befriend you, so that this is like saying people come together of a tribe and form a tribe, or are born through tribal interrelationships. This is purely and simply to try to gather as well the minds of those people, so that all think in similar ways, maybe share similar values in the respect of then that becomes a more powerful body and is able to protect itself, to project itself toward other beings. So you are creating the law of attraction in that relationship. You are then perhaps considering that this whole play that you bring about in your life is actually going to help you. So you gather friends around you, form relationships with those friends, and that creates happiness. The law of attraction actually is still at work. That doesn't mean to say that you may tomorrow walk across the road and get knocked over by a bus, purely and simply, because the law of attraction, it's not that it hasn't worked for you, or that suddenly it was reversed by somebody else's thinking. It was reversed, in fact, by somebody else's attraction of their decision-making and what they decided to do. Or perhaps it was created by an accident that you created. So What about then when you actually, as a physical being, look at someone else and feel attracted? It is a situation of genetics, yes. Instinct, yes. The universal law of attraction in its rawest form is bringing itself into your understanding and alignment. This comes about because genetics attracts other genetics, which you think is a good mate or a good friend, which is going to give you comfort and security, which is going to amplify your own needs and perhaps help you to gain your own goals, as you will help them. The law of attraction then creates an alternate body, if you like, because together these people who have similar goals then may create more people who have similar goals. And that had always been it in the past, that the situation of the family group would be that the parents would try to mold the children in their likeness or something like that, rather than in modern terms that you are understanding now. You understand perhaps in some cultures, not in all, in some cultures, you understand that the individual physical body has a right to its own device and its own divination. This means to say it creates its own law of attraction, rather than the family group or the tribal group or the racial group creating its law of attraction. You have to understand that there are different laws or different fields of laws of attraction which tend to interact with a particular family. So you're actually creating that as a part of the law of attraction then of the universe, that you have a genetic family which also creates a law of attraction. That doesn't mean to say that necessarily the history of your family is then going to interfere with it. Just because, for example, you have a great aunt or a great uncle or someone back in history who slaughtered a lot of people and created mayhem in their life, that this automatically creates a law of attraction in your genetics. I'm not suggesting that. Although there may well be an aspect of memory that is created within your conscious physical body presence, which enables you to connect with that energy. And oftentimes these connections can be vivid, and other times they may be just faint margin in the footnotes of your life, if you like, that they're just like moving pictures or scenery fading in the background. This is how different beings create law of attraction of what they feel is their lot, or perhaps interact with themselves in a different way. Oftentimes you will find that people in the most grossest states of change, perhaps actually becoming in great difficulty, maybe even placed in a secure hospital or something like that, because they actually have fixations of different conscious bodies. And what oftentimes can happen is that these are not the creation of spirit of the individual, but are actually interactions of physical body presence of ancestral knowledge. And that's exactly what they're reacting to. They're just oversensitive to that part of their conscious state as a physical body presence. That doesn't mean to say they attracted it themselves as a spirit, but that perhaps it was just purely a relationship of their genetics, their cell structure, made that event happen. That's the same as saying that a physical body created some other situation injurious to themselves. They got cancer or something like that. That's a genetic manipulation. It's not something that a person creates themselves necessarily, although I do understand it can be possible. Fear, for example, can often create that kind of situation.
Dis-ease.
Yes. This Ease. Exactly.
Well, we know that we're attracted to certain vibrations of each other, and that sort of thing, and that all...
Yes.
And that we're all from different soul groups and that sort of thing, and some soul group vibrations blend with other ones more easily and readily, and also that we can be actually quite repulsed by and by people's, a certain person's vibration. It really, really clashes with ours.
Yes.
So...
And that doesn't necessarily mean, of course, beings from the same family, genetic family, that
no.
They're not necessarily going to come from the same soul group. So their core energy will be completely different. So perhaps parents then would say, however, did I sire that? Because it's a person who doesn't even comprehend me.
But you see, this would be a good thing, a good, shall we say, signpost to do with this, with the law of attraction, because if we go with our innate emotional response to meet somebody and that sort of thing, somebody we're attracted to, somebody we're not,
yes.
The opposite, in fact,
yes.
You know, then the law of attraction would work very well for us in that way, but we can't, you see. We end up maybe at work in a cubicle with somebody that is just totally, you know, clashing with us, something awful.
Yes.
And then we have to spend, you know, and that's just one small, you can imagine, one small scenario. But we have to spend our days like that, days, months, years like that. And so
yes.
It makes it different. And that upsets your kilter, and then you come home. And
yes, absolutely.
Affects,
so.
You know, so it's very difficult,
yes.
Isn't it?
And, well, yes, absolutely. And the point is that you may actually be coming from a completely different place, even in the fact that the person who annoys you or whatever may actually only be doing it for sport, for themselves, their own amusement.
What do you mean?
Because, well, quite simply because some people might actually do that, create it, purely and simply because they want to, because they want to see your reaction.
Yes, but most people don't realise that they that you don't gel with them. I mean, this is what
no,
I mean.
Understand
this
that.
Is the trouble, though, isn't it?
Yes.
Nick can be a perfectly nice person, but there's just something about them that's just absolutely grates on you.
Absolutely.
And that's
so.
Probably what it is. It's not actually anything to do with them except for the vibration that they are, apart from maybe negativity that they carry around with themselves.
Yes.
I mean, all of these things, you know. So this is what I mean about, you know, when people say everything was planned and this, that and the other and we attract this, as if there's no other things that get in the way, well, of this situation.
Would simply not true.
Simply not true.
Yes.
We're attracted to things good, and we're attracted to things bad as well. So,
yes. Depending,
you know,
entirely upon where your mind is
yeah.
positioned.
Yeah. So,
where,
how does that
what
work?
What attracts in your consciousness?
Yeah. What about the law of attraction? You know, because when we talk of the law of attraction, we usually tend to good things, obviously.
Yes,
mostly,
of course.
Because obviously we yes. feel good about this, but we do attract bad things, and we meet people all of the time, and this could be the person sitting next to you in the booth,
yes.
who just attracts bad things day after day after day after day, and it's just a nightmare listening to the things that they talk about every day, and then you realise, well, this is why, because that's all they can talk about is negative things.
Yes, and so, of course, if they're in that vibration, their vibration is actually beating at so many beats per minute or per second, which is at odds with yours. And so, quite simply, it's extremely difficult for a person in that position to maintain their own equilibrium. So you are, in a sense, at odds and displaying this very fractious situation between the two of you. That's almost like having opposing magnets, then, that repel one another. And there actually then tends to be a very great problem in that relationship. It may well be, actually, that that's something which actually occurs between people of the same genetics. Then you really do have a problem. And it's oftentimes what actually happens between people of different generations.
But you can't actually help them without being rude, can you? You know, you can see where these people are going wrong, and we all know people like this, probably family members, and you want to help them, but you can't because it's just too big a situation to try and unravel.
Yes.
So in this situation, with self-preservation and our management of ourselves and our spiritual pathways, this is obviously some signposts that you have to decide what you can do for the betterment for you in your life, so that you can help yourself and help others, and distancing yourself from certain situations. Not always easy.
No, quite so.
But it's sometimes desperate measures, however painful, has to be an option, doesn't it?
Yes. I understand. By the same measure, my dear friend, you actually have people who think in quite an alternate way around that.
Yeah, okay. Yes. Bear that in mind. Hello, caller, who's speaking?
Hi, this is Gordon again from last week.
Hello,
hey,
friend.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
I hope all is well. I've been attracted to your show the last couple of weeks, this week and last week. I guess what I've been attracting within myself, because you're talking about something that I'm trying to better assimilate within my own mind. I guess it would be a better understanding of this this human code of reality. And try to incorporate that more in my own life, so that I could, in time, be of service in the way that I would be more apt or graced by God to do so to say. I guess my question is, I know I'm not the only one participating in this reality here, and I do understand how we will experience much in our life that hasn't have anything to do directly with our individual implementation of thoughts and desires and so forth, even though at some level we must, I'd imagine, at a deeper level, we agree to undergo whatever life brings us as a part of this collective progression for our own spiritual evolution. I know I'm getting a little verbose here or over.
No, you're not at all.
Thanks. Well, anyway, what I am trying to discern from the information, I'd imagine that you're conveying to us, and it's just so wonderful. I've learned so much from listening to you, and you've attracted me again the last couple of weeks. And because I saw in a dream this thing that was called the reality code, it was on like a, I don't know, kind of some kind of etheric parchment. And I was reading, I knew it was kind of profound. And so I assumed that it was what I needed most in my life, because I've attracted so much in my life that has limited me because of my fear. Fear, of course, as you've taught us so many times, is what blocks us from our clarity and our own strength and understanding of our deeper truth, which is a highly personal experience. And I guess what I'm saying, and I always kind of forget because, like you, I'm so involved in listening to the various aspects of this law of attraction and potential unfoldment of the possibilities that you have here. Because it's kind of like you said, you're diving in so many directions of the pool, and I get a little thrown off by the time I get to my question.
Yes, it's quite difficult to maintain the pathway.
Yes. Well, anyway, I guess what I want to say, or better yet, try to get you to hit on to help me grow a bit here is you're saying that you're talking about genetic, because I do my little own affirmations, positive affirmations. I try to do them daily, but I sometimes don't get them in, but however, one was genetic limitation, which you hit on, and also cellular memory, which you hit on, too, as well. Could you elaborate on that a little more?
Yes, of course, my dear friend.
Thank you.
Yes, absolutely. Cellular memory, this is part of the genetic Some people entreat upon it as being DNA. The point is, every single cell fiber of your being has cellular memory. This comes back through DNA, through the genetics of your family ancestry, which has been recorded of their lives, their moments, their conscious physical states, and their passing. All of this is genetic code, which is part of what you take and what you create within you in your physical presence. So it's also sometimes what you actually have to interact with. Sometimes it can be that a being who interacts in a physical way in their life actually is at odds with the cell memory of their physical life, purely because perhaps the thoughts actually become more illuminated than, and then tend to or can take over from the conscious body presence. This means to say that what then happens in the case of psychotics or schizophrenics or whatever, it may be, I'm not saying it always is, but it can be that the presence is in existence of conscious body cell memory coming from the ancestry of that being, which then interrupts the present physical life. And often it can be that the pressures that one being feels can be the conscious memories of other beings within that ancestral journey. This then means to say that the spirit doesn't necessarily have a completely free will experience, purely and simply because the universal law of attraction dictates that cellular memory in a physical body presence, because you're in linear time and you're in a physical earth, three-dimensional field, that it means to say that conscious memory sometimes takes precedence over the living memory that you create now. The point then becomes that you have to learn to suppress that conscious memory and omit it from your current physical presence, which means reprogramming your ability to activate your consciousness, your living consciousness, over your ancestral consciousness of cell memory.
Okay. So, in essence, this is a conflict like all of the conflicts that we encounter in life that we agree to, I imagine, take on in order to refine our, not just ourselves, but our cellular memory. And by reprogramming and thus omitting or super overriding this these imprints on our character, on our DNA, or on our cellular memory, so to say. And so, in essence, it's a challenge that we have agreed to take on as, in order to refine ourselves at the soul level, and there to some degree refine the ancestral memory as well.
Yes, that doesn't mean to say that it's taken on like it's some kind of contract, and it doesn't necessarily mean to say either that by refinement it means to say that those memories have to be quenched or wrung out dry.
Harmonized, maybe.
Harmonized is a better situation, and because, not forgetting, of course, that the cellular memory doesn't have to constantly be regurgitated in the present physical life, because it's all in your Akashic book and the Akashic book of your ancestry. So the way that your spirit body has created the life and interacted with you, in actual fact, takes precedence over the ancestral memory of the cell structure. So it's really just more of an organic situation that's happening purely because you're in a linear time field living as a physical body present. It doesn't mean to say that it's always going to take precedence over your journey. In point of fact, it will be, dear friend, that what will eventually happen is that as you learn to be able to really control your consciousness and accelerate your consciousness so that your vibration transcends that of your cell memory, it means to say you create alternate memories that override them.
OK. Okay, so in essence, I'm illuminating myself by making a success of the reprogramming.
Yes, absolutely so. But as I say, friend, it doesn't mean to say that this journey is there, that you're at default, so that you are given this allotted journey as some kind of contract or conscript. You must evolve this light body pattern in order to help create the right presence for the ancestry. It doesn't actually work that way.
Hey, Gordon, we're going to have to continue this conversation next week, I think.
So you'll have to phone in earlier, friend.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, you know, I actually was here at the beginning of the hour, but again, it was kind of like I really didn't know where to go with this because there were so many aspects of the potential that you were hitting on, and I really didn't know where to start.
Okay. Well, you jot
it's
them.
Quite all right.
You jot them down, and you know, go through them as you want. I mean,
yes,
and we can do. Yeah.
Yes. If I may just say, what I had to do, my dear friend, at the beginning of the program and this first program on this subject, was really to illuminate all of the different pathways so that people could understand just the enormous mass and complexity of it.
Of the connection of it.
Oh.
Of the, yeah.
Well, I guess the key word that I can underscore here is the first part, when you said first part. So I'm looking forward to the future. Okay.
Yeah. Okay, yeah.
I understand.
Look forward to speaking to you hopefully next
and
week, Gordon. You take care and have a great week.
Namaste. Adonai.
Love and light, friend.
God bless.
Bye.
All right, well, that's lovely. All sorts of things spring to mind there. And,
yes.
We'll continue this conversation next week.
Absolutely so. With love
very
and
helpful.
Light, blessings be.
God bless.
God bless.
Bye-bye. And we hope you've enjoyed the show, and we'd like to say thank you once again to Gordon for his questions, but that's wonderful. And do join us again on Monday on our next show on Spirit's Work on CBS Radio at 7 p.m. PST. My name is Sylvie Avery, and until then, you're listening to Spirit's Work, and find us on spirit-teaching.com. So next time, peaceful, be positive, and focused on your goal, knowing that you're not alone in trying to create a better world. Bye.